It's the biggest week of the year for chocolate sales, the week before Easter. It eclipses the demand at Christmas, Mother's Day, and even Valentine's Day. So I suppose it's no surprise then that the UK is playing host to a chocolate festival this weekend where over 80 chocolatiers from all over the world are showing off their wares and skills. I've been chatting to Chantel Cody, OBE, who's the founder of the world-famous Rococo Chocolates, and also Magdalena Fielden, who's the founder of the newly created Grenada Chocolate Festival, and Marc de Marquette, who's a master chocolatier from de Marquette Fine and Artisan Chocolates.
Well, chocolate's something that really you should share. Greedy people like me don't like sharing, but really it's about sharing, it's about festivity, it's a treat, it's about being in the family. And chocolate is an extraordinary ingredient because it's a product that old and young will all enjoy. The young might not all enjoy strong pongy cheese, they might not all enjoy good wines, but chocolate, you pretty much guarantee that everybody around the table is going to enjoy a good bite of good chocolate.
What is it about chocolate, though? What's the science? Because you may as well say, why don't we just pass around a teaspoonful of sugar? We'll enjoy that as well, won't we?
No, we won't. See, that's where, now you're teasing me now here. And I think really about chocolate, it's about the melt. There are more compounds of flavour in chocolate than any other food, such as wines or cheese or breads and so on. So it's very complex. It stimulates the mind. It stimulates the senses. It melts at body temperature. So it's very sensual as well. So, you know, without getting into the gory details, it's got a very nice package, and you can't say no to it, can you?
Magdalena, I was in Grenada just two and a half years ago, and we visited the Grenada Chocolate Company up there in the hills. I think it was opposite the Prime Minister's house, as I recall, and I got an idea of how chocolate is made. But from a developing country perspective, is it really a cash industry?
Not a cash industry, really. We wish it was, but we think it's a love industry.
What is the Grenada Chocolate Festival all about?
Well, the Grenada Chocolate Festival is a celebration of Grenada chocolate and the way we produce the chocolate. And mainly we're trying to involve most of the community. They have some kind of relation with cocoa butter, with chocolate, starting from farmers to artisans to artists, and chefs and people that are, interested in chocolate. So it's a celebration of the Caribbean, of Grenada, having this fabulous organic cocoa we have here in the island.
And when is the festival?
The festival is starting on May 8th. And to the 17th. So we put 2 weekends in there, so a lot of the local people get the chance to celebrate also the festival. And we have different activities through the week, from, you know, the workshop with the benefits of chocolate, to cooking classes where you will cook your own chocolate dish, to be a farmer for the day, and go and work in a farm. So it will be quite a lot of fun.
When I was in Grenada, we were covering the Grenada Chocolate Company. One of the thoughts that I remember from that was just how important the export market is for chocolate there, because it can't sustain itself just within the country, can it? How is the export of that company doing at the moment? Where is it exporting to?
Well, I know exporting to the US and to the UK, and probably Chantal can tell us if it's any other locations. But it's been sent by, with the Tres Hombres, the sailboat, they distributed around the world carbon free.
Magdalena, we're going to lose you now because the line isn't brilliant. Thank you very much. What one thing that Magdalena said there, and I'll throw this to both Chantal and to Mark as well, was just how difficult it is to make money from chocolate, because the raw produce itself is quite, it takes some doing to farm it, and then beyond that to convert it. Can anybody but the big companies like Nestlé make money on chocolate, Chantal?
I believe they can, and the Grenada Chocolate Company is absolutely, it breaks the mould and it turns the whole pyramid and traditional chocolate making system on its head, because it takes the beans that are being grown right there and it creates a tree to bar chocolate. So they're adding all the value on at that end of the chain. Instead of shipping out beans as a commodity, they're actually shipping out chocolate made with huge amount of love, as Magdalena was saying. And it's a really amazing product, which is super premium. If you think in terms of wines, maybe this is a fantastic, like a chateau bottled single estate. And actually the amount of cocoa they've got there is pretty limited. So the demand is outstripping the supply probably, you know, 3 or 4 times at the moment.
We saw many of the empty cocoa shells all around the factory, just gathering dust, I suppose. But how different is the way they make chocolate then from the way you make it with Rococo?
Well, actually, we do work very closely with them, in fact, and we've got a share in the farm, which is just across the road there. So all the beans that we grow together are donated to the chocolate company. It's then converted into chocolate by them with a huge amount of love and care.
This is raw chocolate.
Actually made into blocks of chocolate, right, and tablets, and we're just eating on one right now. We have a particularly fantastic one, which is our own single estate chocolate, which Mark's just trying, which has no vanilla. It's just got this amazingly complex profile, which I perhaps should ask him to describe. But then we also get some bigger pieces, which we melt down and add into our own organic mixture for many of the artisan bars that we make.
Okay, let's not get too technical because we're hungry enough as it is. But Mark, Mark de Marquette, your chocolates are artisan chocolates. What does that even mean?
It's handmade. And that means really it's about harnessing the extraordinary ingredients that we have, not only just of the chocolate that we receive, you know, from the love and care from various plantations from around the world, but also from the UK. You know, I source cream, butter, fruit from small holdings from across the United Kingdom. And then that's blended and made into various truffles and all sorts of other wonderful chocolates. And the combination of both, shall we say, sometimes like mint, cream, butter, honey, and the chocolate will give a beautiful melt, very soft, velvety texture, but also explosion of flavours.
But where do you get the chocolate from?
From all over the world. I mean, we get some from Vietnam, for example, from Madagascar, from Venezuela, from Papua New Guinea. We're hoping to get our hands onto some Burmese cocoa as well as some Cambodian.
Is there a difference from one country to another?
Completely.
Is that
like wines? Like wines, like cheeses, like absolutely anything. It's all about the regions where they're from, the terroir, using a French word, or the land, the minerals, and also the way in which it's then transformed from the cocoa to the chocolate.
So which country produces the best chocolate then?
Oh, that's subjective. I can't say.
In terms of the raw produce, though, surely you can say.
In my view, great chocolates for myself at De Marquette, I would be saying, yes, Grenada has got some extraordinary flavour profiles. Venezuela, very deep, very rich, very long-lasting. If you want something fresh in terms of berries and fresh fruit in that tones, I'll be looking at more of the eastern ones, such as Papua New Guinea, Vietnam, Cambodia. These are countries that are producing very light chocolates, so to speak, whilst the more deep, rich ones will be more from the Caribbean to Latin America.
And Chantal, I noticed that Mark didn't even mention Mexico, to which we owe the chocolate that we eat in any case, because wasn't it the Aztecs that decided to produce this
product? It was indeed.
And
they are still growing cocoa there, and they're making a bit of chocolate, but they've sort of got a bit lost along the way somewhere. And
really?
I mean, if you're talking M's, I'd go Madagascar,
right,
which is one of the most stunning flavour profiles of any cocoa in the world, which a lot of people can taste raspberries, plums, citrus, red berry fruit. And this is just all actually in the cocoa itself.
Wow. But how did Mexico get lost? What went wrong there?
Well, I mean, their tradition was from the times, and we don't really know the history properly, but in the Aztec days, Montezuma was famous for drinking a huge amount, jugs and jugs of chocolate out of his golden goblets. and only men were allowed it because it was so powerful, an aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a cold, bitter drink. It was very fatty. It had lots of spices that we wouldn't be very familiar with. And it was after that that Cortez and even Columbus actually shipped beans to Spain. And they had a monetary value in the Aztec culture. So I think Cortez actually saw money growing on trees and thought, well, this is amazing. If I can swap, you know, 10 cocoa beans for a rabbit, I'm going to be a rich man. So they took it to Spain, and actually the Spanish didn't really like it very much. It took quite a while and a tweaks of the recipe where they added sugar and vanilla from the other side of the world. And then they found something that was quite good. But so these days in Mexico, you can still find the blocks of drinking chocolate, which is very, very sugary. And I think they're beginning to make some darker, more European styles of chocolate.
Mark, Chantal mentioned the Afro word there. Does it still have that little
Oh, absolutely.
Power?
It's indisputable. Chocolate
really?
Will put a smile on anybody's face.
Yeah, you know, smile. That, you know, that's not...
let's keep it, let's it? Keep
yeah,
it clean
okay,
here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But well, you know, I'll ask the question. You know, when you've been, you know, sort of a bit naughty, you bring a box of chocolates to your other half.
Yeah.
You get forgiven a little bit more. Not,
do you?
Not entirely, but, you know, you're on your ways to being forgiven.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I think it's something that you really enjoy, don't you?
Chocolate or flowers?
Yeah, but you enjoy chocolates more than flowers.
Oh, yeah, you can eat chocolate. You
Absolutely.
Can't eat flowers. But then again, you know, well, yeah, flowers have lost out immediately. I can't even say then again. How much chocolate is sold over Easter? Any idea, either of you?
Good Lord. Well, let's just say quality chocolate, and that's real chocolate, not stuff that's stuffed with palm oil that is literally sort of filling the shelves of our supermarkets. There's a high tonnage of it. And we're talking tonnage, you know, so probably around in the UK, probably around quality chocolate. Now, this is the fine stuff. This is where, you know, it is unadulterated.
The expensive stuff.
The expensive for the right reasons. You know, it is quality. It's in small batches and so on. The mass market stuff, you know, that, you know, £1, you know, sort of bargain basement stuff full of palm oil.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's, you know, it's replaced the rainforests, so it's not
right.
Really sort of the ethical product to have.
Okay.
It's very fatty. It's not pure cocoa,
but it tastes delicious though. It still puts that smile on our face, doesn't it?
Oh, but you know, when you just need to try both. You know, try that, you know, and then try one of the chocolates we've just been mentioning from the origins that we've been mentioning. I can assure you, you will not want to turn back. And that's the thing.
But
it's literally these sort of huge differences between real chocolate and what really is confectionery.
I don't doubt it for a moment, Chantal, but, you know, the biggest chocolate manufacturer in the world, if it's not Hershey's in the United States, it's not Cadbury's. I think Cadbury's is owned by an American company now, but it's either that or Nestle or something, isn't it? How much of a battle do you have with those big established manufacturers of chocolate? Because despite what Mark was saying a moment ago, it is their chocolates that fill the shelves at the supermarket and elsewhere, isn't it?
Well, I think it's just something completely different. The Europeans tried to pass a law to call it Vegulate a few years ago, which didn't quite get through, and then it was going to be a family chocolate. And there's something, it's much more in the lines of fast food, I think, because you've got, as Mark was saying, a lot of fat, a huge amount of sugar, and very little cocoa. So if it's like, if you want to go out for a really delicious meal or cook something wonderful at home, you might spend a bit more on getting very good ingredients and actually consequently eat a bit less and have a much more beautiful and healthier experience.
And a wider smile on your face, of course. But what should we be looking out for taste-wise when we eat chocolate? How should we enjoy it? You know that advert, how do you eat yours? How should we, you know, should we crunch it and enjoy it, or should we
listen
suck
to
on
Chantal.
It?
So, Chantal is now demonstrating.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Sound of vision.
Yeah,
and I'm now going to crack a piece of chocolate. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard
that. Snap.
Yeah.
It should have that lovely snap. And then you put the chocolate into your mouth. I'm going to get Mark to do this so I can talk.
Quite willingly.
And you let it melt in
yes,
your mouth.
Yes, you allow it to
exactly.
melt. And if it's really fine chocolate, which isn't full of other types of fat, it will just start to melt, to become liquid. Then that will rise up into your nose, so a bit like wine again, and you experience this whole opening up of all the flavours in there. And in this particular one, it's really very complex. It's a Grenada one, actually, from our farm. So it's just a single harvest, single estate. And we didn't put vanilla in it, so that it allows all these flavours from, well, let's say it starts off with a bit of newly mown hay, and it opens up into some plum, some
very
cherry,
fresh,
some dried fruits.
Yep. Figs.
And then, yeah, you get that, the figs, and then it goes into the citrus, and you find a bit of tobacco, a bit of wood, but it's just endlessly complex.
It's very complex. It's really working hard. It's making me work hard.
And you don't need very much of it. So although it costs you more to buy a bar of that, it will actually, you can share that around a table and each have a piece of it, and it just hits the spot.
Yeah, so and it suffices.
About aphrodisiacs, you know, you want a really good experience, don't you?
I'm really tempted to go to that chocolate festival at the weekend, but you know, I've got other things to do with my life, let's face it. But if you do go, bring back a bar for me. That's all I can say. That was Chantal Cody OBE, who we heard from there, from Rococo Chocolates. Also heard from Marc de Marquette of de Marquette Chocolates, and Magdalena Fielding, also the founder of the Grenada Chocolate Festival. After the news and sport, we'll get the latest from Yemen, and we'll talk about that walkway in Spain that is really the world's scariest walkway. But first, let's get the headlines with Mike Young.
On digital, online, smartphone and tablet. This is BBC Five Live.
Italy's highest court has overturned the convictions of Amanda Knox and her ex-boyfriend for killing